Welcome back to Coastal Daybreak. You're listening to the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And now more Coastal Daybreak.
Hey, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And we wanted to find out from the UNC Institute of Marine Science what they thought about some new comprehensive weather forecasting and research that is accompanied in a new bill that's out, or a bill that's been signed, passed by Congress and signed now by President Trump. And so joining us this morning is Dr. Rick Ludick from the UNC Institute of Marine Science. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
Good to have you with us here today.
Pleased to be back.
What is this all about?
Well, this is great legislation for North Carolina and for the country in general. The Weather Research and Forecasting Innovation Act specifies substantial improvement in weather forecasting and prediction of high-impact weather events, specifically hurricanes, tornadoes, droughts, floods, storm surge, wildfire, and whether you're in the east part of the state or the western part of the state, or anywhere in between, all of those are major weather phenomena that impact us.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just a couple of years ago we were talking about dismantling weather forecasting and leave it all up to commercial.
Well, part of this act is to strengthen the connectivity between the federal weather forecasting enterprise and the commercial sector. Mm-hmm. But I think the realization is that the commercial sector probably can't handle it all, and particularly the research aspects of it and some
right.
of the major observational systems, satellites, for example, and mm-hmm. things, are best probably partnered between the commercial sector, the federal government, and the academic sector.
Well, and it's amazing how much is it accessible to the common person, too, now, too.
Right.
You can just see, everybody has weather apps on their phone. You get a lot of things, but not the forecasting part. So how does this make your job and what you do? Because I know we were just talking about you go down to New Orleans. You've been going and inspecting, I guess, still looking over how the levee system is
right.
working after Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
So how does this affect what you do?
So this specifically is about forecasting, and
mm-hmm.
so – And weather, once upon a time, we just thought about weather as being clouds, sunshine, and rainfall, I guess. But now we've recognized the fact that it's also about how the ocean responds and what comes down the rivers and floods and,
mm-hmm.
and all of the things that really weather causes, because those are what really impact us.
Mm-hmm.
So this hits on all of those things. This broadens the venue of weather, and it says, you will work hard with the academic, sector, with the commercial sector, to improve the forecasting capabilities. It specifies things like you will get another Hurricane Hunter aircraft so
mm-hmm.
that if one goes down, we have
right.
capacity to go out and observe these things after they formed. It specifies things like you will invest in the kind of computing power that's needed to run these weather models.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how to you will take steps to make sure that you're collecting enough data so that you can do that in tandem with the
right.
models themselves. So all of these are key parts of enabling us to really, I think, really regain preeminence globally in weather forecasting. For the last few years, I think there's been a concern and a recognition that maybe the Europeans have surpassed us.
Mm-hmm. So because we look at a lot of European models, I know
right.
when all those computer models come out, sometimes we tend to favor those.
The ECMWF,
yeah.
the European model is oftentimes the one that proves out to be the most accurate. Not always, but
mm-hmm.
but often. Yeah.
But modeling is a science, but it's an exact one. I mean, it's tough. I mean, and you think about how many different factors you have to throw into that model.
Yeah, Yogi Berra had some kind of a quote about predicting the future is hard, but that's what it is. I mean, you can observe what's happened in the past, but
mm-hmm.
you can't observe what's happened in the future yet. So you have to forecast it. You have to predict it, and we rely on models, and so our effort in the research community is to improve those models to stress test those models with observations of past events.
Well, how much is technology going to play a role in improving those observations? For example, different kinds of cameras, for example, from satellites, or different ways to look down at the weather?
Well, this bill specifically specifies that models and observations need to be better coordinated and integrated. So
mm-hmm.
you can actually use models to test out what the value of additional observations are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of use your models to say, if I had better information on what was going on here, or if I had a different kind of sensor, a
mm-hmm.
different type of, you know, whether it's temperature or whatever it is, if I had this information, how much better would it have made my model?
Well, you were working on models that were used during Matthew, I believe, right?
We worked on the models that we work on specifically predict how the ocean responds to these major events, whether they're winter storms mm-hmm. or hurricanes or whatnot. And so we've been running them, going back a decade or more, even back to the Katrina times in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten much better at it. And during Hurricane Matthew, we were running them multiple times a day to try to come up with the best prediction we could have of what areas would flood and what areas would see significant impact from mm-hmm. the storm as it transited all the way from Florida up and left Cape Hatteras.
It really was a good hurricane to do this with, because it was pretty unpredictable. I mean, it seemed to be varying quite a bit.
Well, it was. Actually, it was a great hurricane to do this because it crossed a large section of the coast. Mm-hmm. And again, with our federal partners, this time at the U.S. Geological Survey and NOAA,
mm-hmm.
An awful lot of data was collected related to the coastal ocean, so flooding, storm surge, all the way again up the Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina coast. So we have an unprecedented data set mm-hmm. that we can now go back and reevaluate the adequacy and the success of our modeling capabilities.
Now one of the areas, I know Les Still, I think, does a pretty outstanding job, actually. He likes to look at how weather is happening all over the world and how it kind of intersects with our weather, too. But we've had this discussion about how the scales, the numbers that we use in classifying hurricanes or maybe even other storm systems seems inadequate. They're just putting it on a wind scale alone.
Right.
It doesn't tell you about the volume of water, doesn't tell you about really storm surge, et cetera. Is that part of this new modeling idea?
Well, I think it's part of the new realization of mm-hmm. what weather means to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that in hurricanes in particular, for the longest time, we thought about the hurricane as the wind. And we developed the categories and all of that based on wind.
Right.
What really does the damage, and in particular, what really causes the loss of life is water.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not a good translation between the hurricane scales and the storm surge, the amount of flooding and those really destructive and really life-threatening aspects of the storm. And so that's what we've tried very hard, particularly since Katrina, to move the entire community away from is associating an amount of storm surge and amount of water with the categories of the storm, because it can vary tremendously. Yes, a stronger storm you would expect will have more
right.
flooding. But actually equating that and then trying to make decisions based on that. Should I evacuate? Should I not evacuate? You know, should I take protective actions based on that is just not a good idea at all. And
yeah.
we really worked hard to try to get away from that.
Matthew, again, a pretty good example where wind was the issue along our coast right here, but water was the issue just a little bit further in.
Well, and so that's the other thing that we're starting to recognize is that water from the ocean we think of as storm surge. But these events now, and if you've lived through Fran and Floyd and Matthew, now in eastern North Carolina, we recognize that the rainfall associated with them then coming down the rivers and streams and hitting the coastal plain mm-hmm. can be devastating. And again, we're expanding what our thoughts of weather are to recognize that flooding from those events is critical. And in fact, we're starting to work more diligently on trying to be able to model those events as well.
You talk about this this new legislation and new efforts to coordinate government and commercial. What are the commercial groups that are doing weather forecasting? I know sometimes some industries do weather forecasting.
They do. There are weather companies, the Weather Channel, mm-hmm. for example, and they're active in these areas. They're not the only one. Interestingly enough, IBM just bought them up
mm-hmm.
within the last year.
Yeah.
And so that is interesting. So there are commercial weather enterprises,
mm-hmm.
And again, the Weather Channel is the best known. But then the insurance industry in particular has been investing a lot in trying to develop these technologies, because they use them not necessarily to forecast what's going to happen next week, but
mm-hmm.
to look more further down the road and what's the statistical likelihood of something like this happening in the future, and therefore how should they set their insurance rates.
Right.
Right. In fact, I'll be heading up to FM Global later this week for a large meeting related to modeling capabilities, and they're hosting it in part because of their interest in developing these.
Dr. Rick Ludick with us from the UNC Institute of Marine Science. And again, going monthly to New Orleans with the levees, how are they holding up?
Levees are in New Orleans are doing fine, mm-hmm. Preparing for this next season. And as you mentioned, I go down. I'm on the commission that oversees the maintenance operation and overall management mm-hmm. of the levee systems around Greater New Orleans. They were built after they were really completely revamped after yeah. Katrina. And even since that time, there's been enough settlement in that area that we've had to go back. And right now, in some sections, we're actually having to add more material on top of them to get them back to their design specification levels. So it's an interesting, never-ending situation down there. So it's not something you can just build and kind of walk away from.
Are there other parts of the country that have similar issues?
Well, the area that has attracted a lot of attention in the last few years is the Houston-Galveston mm-hmm. area. And Hurricane Ike devastated that
sure.
area. Of course, there have been several storms that have really devastated that area. But they're working and have been trying to build consensus about how to provide a large-scale protection capability there, similar to what is really surrounding New Orleans. They sometimes call it the Ike Dike
mm-hmm.
or the coastal spine or something.
Right.
It's been a challenging process to build consensus because inevitably you do something to try to protect one area and another area may not see it as being in their best interest or it may have a more negative consequence. So it's been a long process. I think they're reaching consensus, and then the question is who's going to pay for it, and
mm-hmm.
it's in the tens of billions of dollars.
Of course.
So
yeah.
There's certainly a back and forth between local, state, and federal funding.
Dr. Rick Ludick again joining us on this. And if you want to find out more information, you go to the UNC Institute of Marine Science website, but also the Washington Post has a good article on the bill itself, too. You can look up the Weather Forecast Improvement Bill and check it out for yourself. Rick, it's always good to see you.
Good. Thank you.
This is Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station.